Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, we're back. We're giving you two episodes this time just to compartmentalize the European Cup, because it was a big final weekend. So that first episode in your feed before this one is there right now. You can go and listen to all our chat about the rugby. But as JB pointed out right at the end of this podcast, there's all sorts of stuff going on off the pitch that is only tangentially and indirectly related to the actual product of rugby.
Yes, there is. Well, yeah, there is actually. There's all sorts going on. So, I mean, it's not games that have been played. Should we start with a nice one, actually, rather than getting straight into Bath? Have you seen some of the names that Tonga have announced that might be playing for them?
Wonderful to see world-class players on the world stage.
Yeah, so one former Wallaby and three former All Blacks they're actually announced in the Tonga squad, aren't they, for the summer tours? So the All Blacks being Malachi Fekitoa, Sir Charles Piatau, and Augustine Pulu, and the former Wallaby being Israel Folau. One of the most talented. I think he's one of the most talented players of all time. I think probably Sir Charles you can put in that category as well. They are genuinely two of the most talented players of all time. It'd be great to see them back playing.
Say again, Jay.
Who plays fullback out of those two, or does it simply not matter?
Doesn't matter. You just play two of those in the back three, and you can have an extra flanker.
Yeah, exactly right. Perfect. See, that's the sort of innovation that's going to come from the Premiership next year.
Yeah, genuinely. You know, if you've got those two,
just the back two.
Yeah, if you've got those two in the backfield, just put an extra prop on or an extra second row or two scrum halves.
Do you know the other former Wallaby that could imminently be announced as a Tongan international?
Sokopi Kepu, maybe.
I think that could be one. But there is another one that currently plays in the Premiership.
Ooh.
Currently in the Premier, not John Afella.
Nope.
Wallaby.
Ex-Wallaby international playing in the Premiership. He is a forward.
One of the London Irish second rows.
Mafi.
No, he is. Well, he is Tongan international, so he's never not been. But Adam Coleman. Adam Coleman.
Wow. Coleman.
Adam Coleman's dad is Tongan.
Interesting. Yeah.
Imagine. And so in this October, mid-October, he qualifies for Tonga. He's 30 years old. That's a pretty significant addition to Tonga's squad as well.
I mean, that's legit, isn't it? That is quite... Australia will be falling over themselves, surely, to get him back. By the way, Australia have got some second row options should everyone be available to them, which, of course, they're not. But if you just get everyone who is Australian who plays second row professionally to come back and play second row. I mean, the Arnold boys, for instance.
Mm.
And they've got loads of them everywhere. So,
on the Adam Coleman thing, yes, I think he could. Australia could say, hey, Adam, we'll have you if you want to play at the World Cup. But according to the Tongan head coach, he has said, no, I want to play for Tonga. He wants to represent the nation of his father.
Mm.
Wow. So there could be a special story there, couldn't there?
Yeah. It's very cool.
Like, all these players returning for the first time. Oh, I hope it happens. I hope that they manage to go full force and do some real damage.
His dad, by the way, just to be clear, his dad was captain of Tonga. His cousin,
I had no idea about it.
His cousin played in the 95, 2003 and 2007 World Cups as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah. I agree with what you said. Izzy Folau, one of the best players I've ever seen in the modern era.
Well, he just is. I mean, just, you know,
yeah.
The tri-tally, you can't argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's such an all-round talented player.
And Sir Charles as well, awesome.
Tonga, they can't be a million miles away from having a brace of Vunipolas playing for them as well.
Oh my word.
Vunipolai.
Yeah.
Mako's back in the England squad, isn't he? So it won't be him, but Billy.
He is, well, Mako could opt to not play for England, although he would be stupid. He needs to funnel that cash into Vunprop Limited.
Absolutely.
Well, also an All Black who won't be available for the World Cup next year, but is interested in switching his allegiance to Tonga, is Ngani Laumapi.
Nice, yeah, because he's obviously playing in Paris at the moment, isn't he? He's at Stade.
And when you hear and see these names, it just makes you realise that we were talking about La Rochelle being incredible to win the European Cup with 70,000 population. I'd take a guess. I think Tonga's population is like 200,000, something like that. The whole country.
It might not even be that, you know.
Unbelievable.
But, can we just put the brakes on this a second? It's a lovely idea. But isn't it the inverse of what we thought the reality was? So we always talk in rugby circles about, oh, look at the amount of All Blacks that are actually Tongan or Fijian or Samoan. And in reality, the situation is, look at the amount of Samoans, Tongans that are actually Australian or Fijian. They're usually second generation Tongan or second generation Fijian, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so there was something a while ago that I'm trying to think which World Cup it was. It might have been 2011 or 2015.
Yeah.
And the number of New Zealanders who were not born in New Zealand was say three out of a squad of 30, whereas the number of Tongans in the squad who were not born in Tonga was, say, like 15 out of a squad of 30.
Yeah, numbers exactly.
Numbers wrong, but proportions correct. But that's as a consequence of if you're talented in most dimensions, academically or athletically, there are far more opportunities in, say, Australia or New Zealand or France or USA or, you know, basically around the world. Now, hopefully that situation is changing, but it's a consequence of that.
Just to take the Vunipolas as one example, yes, they were raised in Wales and then England, and they played all their academy rugby. Same with Manu Tuilagi, but like Feu Vunipola, former hooker for Tonga, he's a Tongan who travelled outside of Tonga because of rugby. So Billy and Mako Vunipola are legitimately and should not be mistaken for not being Tongan men.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the point I'm trying to make is the common misconception in rugby circles is, look at the All Blacks stealing all of these Tongans, and actually it's probably because of New Zealand that they can, you know, keep together a team of a certain standard.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Just worth knowing. I'm not saying that right in every plane or there's anything more to add. It's just a nice little detail that people should really be aware of.
Mm. So yeah, that positives. Obviously, other people will be looking at the downside of that story with one individual returning to international rugby.
We never want to see Laumapi play again.
Like, imagine centre partnership of Laumapi and Fekitoa. God, that hits hard.
Oh.
Yeah, one hits hard running towards you. Well, they just hit hard. I mean, they just hit hard.
Every dimension. Yeah. So yeah, there's some good news there, I think. Overall.
Well, good news unless you're an Ireland or a Scotland fan, who they could have a pretty handy team, a potential banana skin in their pool, just as happened with Japan.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'd love to see that.
But that's great for the World Cup. It's fantastic.
Mm. Agreed. Now, what else is great in the world of rugby?
Can I just say, I'm not going to go into it, but can I just say, I love that we just spoke about that story and we just spoke about rugby and how passionate we are about the sport. Just on that last story, I love that on this podcast we're excited about the rugby. Everyone else can go on about all the rest of it. Yes, next story, JB.
Yes, let's talk about the rugby in Bath. Oh, the club! I honestly feel myself becoming a Bath fan every single day.
Again, you were originally when the podcast started. They were your team. Then it was Exeter.
They're just awesome, aren't they? Like, you know, people say, oh, Rugby Stadium. No, wrong. The best stadium on the planet. They're getting rid of Farley House. I mean, that is a shame because I think, yeah, it's a shame. They've got the nicest kit, and they're certifiably nuts. The whole thing is run like an absolute clown show. And I can't get enough of it. Can't get enough.
So let me do the sort of journalist facts, what we know to be true, and then we can do the
other stuff.
Yeah, I've just seen the WhatsApp messages, JB. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, so what we know to be true is Ed Griffiths, who was brought in as chairman or chief exec?
He's brought in as consultant.
Consultant. Consultancy.
Yeah.
He made up a job for himself called chairman.
That was bullet point one of his recommendation. Yeah. Job for me. It was chairman.
Yeah, chairman. So he has been relieved of duties as chairman of Bath by Bruce Craig, I gather, or the board, or however these things are done. And that was slightly unexpected. But that's all we were really told. And they've confirmed their new structure with Stuart Hooper looking after everything off the pitch, Johan van Graan and his coaching team looking after out there with the whistles and with the tactics and selection and everything. Stuart Hooper's taking a sort of broader management type role of everything else. And that's what we know. And that's the end of the story, isn't it, JB?
There's nothing more
that we know. Just one thing before we get into JB's other side of things, because this was an official statement by Bath on Wednesday afternoon, before their final game of the season, not after their final game of the season, when they announced these rules. And it's, The titles are a little bit interesting. So Ed Griffiths leaves. Johan van Graan will lead the club's rugby program as head of rugby. Stuart Hooper becomes general manager.
That's right.
Yeah.
But in the announcement, Tarquin McDonald, Bath Rugby chief executive, has confirmed that Stuart Hooper as general manager will report into Johan van Graan as head of rugby. So it initially looks like Stuart Hooper has been demoted upwards, but then he's just been demoted. And I can't quite work out how that structure has got to that place. So maybe JB, you can perhaps give us a bit more detail and background on this.
Because just quickly, in NFL, a general manager would look after the contracts and the recruitment and the head coach would look after the tactics and the selection.
Yeah, also, quite often the GM is the guy that fires the head coach.
Yeah,
you know, quite a lot of head coaches that become GMs without just scouting background. So it's a very particular use of words, isn't it, for that job description? Because I don't think many rugby clubs have a GM. I've heard of rugby league clubs having a GM, but that is a pretty all-powerful role. I would say a GM in American sport is basically director of rugby, isn't it?
Top job.
So they've kind of invented a role that sounds like a senior role. But in the small print, it reports to the head coach. So they don't have a director of rugby unless van Graan is now director of rugby. Or is he? I don't know. Who knows?
Head of rugby is his title. Again, read into that what you will.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how it's all. Let's just go with Stuart Hooper and his relationship with Big Bruce. I'm not negative on it and I'm not positive on it. I mean, it's very hard, isn't it, to be positive about keeping this guy around for so long. I've said on the record many times, I still do believe Stuart Hooper is a pretty nice guy. I really do. And I can see why. I mean, I never want anyone to be sacked particularly, even though I say it in jest, like, oh yeah, sack them all. I don't, because there are real world consequences to that happening. But like, it's just bizarre that in this world of competitive sport where it's also cutthroat, and if you're a player, you can be let go for all sorts of reasons, not having a good game. I mean, even in your contracts, I think if you're injured for, what is it, nine, if you're not available to play 9 out of 12 months of the year, you can have your contract terminated. So in this ultra competitive world that they inhabit, Stuart Hooper lived like lives there. I don't understand it. And he just keeps on failing upwards and upwards and upwards. I just think that is a shame, actually. The biggest shame is it's for Stuart Hooper, because he has the sword of Damocles over his head now. And if he leaves Bath, nobody is employing Stuart Hooper. I can 100% cast iron guarantee it. Leicester Tigers are not phoning Stuart Hooper right now saying, Stuart, come be our GM and run our non-rugby side. Nobody is. Whereas I think if he'd have gone elsewhere and failed and learned, he could then take up a job in Bath, or he could go somewhere else. This is embarrassing, actually. He has no more credibility left. And I think this is like the final straw. It must feel particularly demoralising if you're a Bath player. Like, this guy's still here. We have finished bottom of the league and he is still here. I just don't think it works for anyone. In fact, the more I think about it, the worse the decision becomes. On the other hand, I can't help admire Bruce Craig for sticking with his mates. Because if they are just mates, if this is the reason that Stuart Hooper's here, yeah, it does turn into Stuart Hooper being a Santa charity case. But I also kind of like the fact that someone looks after their mates. And I can't really get away from that. I can't feel bad about Bruce Craig because he likes Stuart Hooper. And I kind of guess that is what it has to be.
So You tweeted, let's talk about the tweet you put out on Wednesday in the wake of this.
Yeah. So they being Bath, allegedly have had board meetings all week. It sounded to me as if Ed Griffiths' plan, in fact, I can say this about Ed Griffiths. I think he's a brilliant sports administrator. I have some insight to how he thinks, not a huge amount, but I have some. And I think he wanted to make some changes. I think the changes he wanted to make would be talking about Donald gone and Stuart Hooper gone. And I think he is completely justified in coming to that conclusion. I mean, you have to be mad to think he's not justified to come to that conclusion. I also think that he might not always be a very pleasant man to be around. And some of the stories I've heard about his behaviour towards Stuart Hooper do not sound good. They do not. They sound beneath the stature of a man like Ed Griffiths. It sounds petty. It sounds a little bit vindictive.
I do think it's important to point out at this point that this is he said, she said stuff. So you have no personal knowledge of this yourself.
Yeah, I've got some personal knowledge of it. I've got some people telling me things.
I appreciate that, but you don't have personal knowledge. You don't have personal knowledge of it, is what I'm saying, firsthand.
Oh, I mean, I didn't see the incident with my own eyes. No.
I think it's important to say that.
Yeah. I don't think the treatment's been fantastic there. But I mean, that's symptomatic of the whole club. If you run something so disorganised and so ad hoc, that's the reason that you get this bad culture. Now, allegedly, and I say allegedly, I have had this confirmed by a Bath player. They were meant to be training on Thursday. But it got cancelled. So everyone just went out on the beers instead, which I think is glorious, actually. I mean, that just makes me want to support Bath even more. So that's where Bath are now. They are at the stage that they want to go out on the beers rather than train. And as I understand it, an England international, who I understand to be Ben Spencer, is not very happy there and would like to leave. However, Ben Spencer himself tweeted that that is not true. So who knows if it's true or not? Who knows if it was true and then Ben Spencer remembered that there was a salary cap in place and most teams have done their spending? The answer is, I don't know the veracity of that last report, but I've heard it multiple times now. Madness. Absolutely.
Again, I'm just balancing. I'm not casting any personal judgment on this. I'm just doing the balancing thing. I'm saying Ben Spencer denied that was the case.
That's exactly what I said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ben Spencer has actually said, it's not me.
He said that's untrue. When someone said the rumor is it's Ben Spencer, he said that's completely untrue. That's a quote from Ben Spencer. That's completely untrue.
And I think on balance it probably is true. That's what I think. But that's just my suspicion. I strongly suspect it is true. I also strongly suspect that he probably thought, it sounds like a good idea on paper. Until he realised the salary cap is $4.5 million and everyone's spent it all and you can't be a marquee player and you can't really move between clubs. And, you know, that's that. So, awesome at Bath. Absolutely awesome. I just feel, the person I feel most sorry for, and it's a silly thing to say, it's still Stuart Hooper. I just feel sorry for him.
I wonder how much he's earning.
I don't know how much I would need to earn to get over the shame.
I think what he's earning will probably balance it out, because he's outside the salary cap. He's not on 42k like many of the players who'll be playing for him.
He's on like, let's say he's on 150k. Right?
I was going to speculate that amount.
I would have thought slightly more than that, in all honesty. But yeah, it's that. Maybe 50 to 100k north of that, but yeah, it'll be that region.
Yeah, so big spenders, well, Bath are big spenders, right? So you'd imagine their director of rugby would be on big money. I wonder if he's got a permanent contract rather than a fixed term contract because of all the jobs he's had in and around the club.
Well, aren't all players, I know they have contracts, but aren't they all PAYE?
So what I mean to him is, every single coach, except for four in the Premiership, have fixed term contracts. So 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. There's only four coaches in the entire league who have permanent contracts. Do you know their names?
Mark McCall?
No.
Rob Baxter?
Rob Baxter, because he's on the board.
No.
No? Oh, wow.
Steve Diamond?
No. Although Blackett? I would... No.
Borthwick?
No.
So it's going to be more junior
coaches.
Junior
coaches then.
Yeah, there's four of them.
Go on, tell us.
Hold on. So is it, what level, what type of role are we talking?
Premiership coaches, not director of rugby, not a head coach.
Okay.
And they all signed the deals at the same time.
Nick Evans, yeah. Adam Jones. Yes.
Jerry Flannery.
And one other. Is it Mel Crone, maybe?
Whoever the other one is of that four. Not to buy Madsen.
And I wonder if Hooper's got some sort of like full-time deal or something, which is why they just keep moving him around so they have to pay him compensation or whatnot. I mean, I don't think that would be the case. But it just feels odd. And, say £150,000, what? To be a laughingstock in front of your peers and fans and, the press, and have idiots like me who talk about rugby not really berating you, but just feeling sorry for you. I mean, is that enough money for that public role?
Can I just say something that Phil said on last week's show? It's how disappointing is it that this isn't all happening with Worcester, Bath for bottom place and relegation being coming up this weekend?
I kind of like the fact that it's not. It makes it even more tinfoil. It makes it even more tragic. I think they should 100% give them a spoon, and that spoon should be emblazoned on their jersey for next year, maybe for all years. Just always have to have the spoon underneath the badge, just like you have the stars. And if you're going to put your stars on, and especially Bath when they put their international crest on the collar of all the players with an international cap, sorry, boys, you've got to put your spoon on.
So I'm with that. I like the spoon idea.
I love it.
What would Saracens get? Because Saracens were relegated through cheating rather than bad performance. So would they get a special kind of spoon?
I have no idea. They're denied even the spoon, but I don't know what you give them. What do you give them? The Lance Armstrong commemorative trophy or something? I have no idea. There is... in American sports, it's quite funny. You've seen teams that suck. They have fans come into the stadium with bags on their heads. I think Bath fans should go to the stadium with paper bags on their face, on their heads, with a sad face drawn on. That'd be absolutely.
I quite like in. I think you told me about this, Jay. In French business and politics, if a higher up does something wildly unpopular, the kind of general population will literally rip the shirts off their backs.
Yeah, they will. So if you're a CEO of a company, I'm sure it happened to the Air France chairman. And he's walking into work, and all of a sudden he's accosted by these massive trade unions who rip the shirt off his back. I mean, I do not advocate that. And also, you know, it's one thing bullying a nerdy, pen-pushing ex-aviation executive. It's another order of magnitude altogether to, you know, go and take Stuart Hooper's shirt off his back, because as sorry a sight as he may be, he's still 6'11" or something with short, you know, massive shoulders. So don't do that. Do not attempt to remove Stuart Hooper's clothes.
So JB, when are you buying your updated Bath 2022 vest?
Oh, soon, I think. By the way, can we just remember who has the best kit in all the Premiership, and it is Bath. The best stash in the Premiership, that is Bath.
The best one-off kit ever is the Harlequins 150-year.
I disagree. I think the Bath gold stripe for the 150th, whatever that was as good, if not better.
Oh, it is a delicious kit, that.
Those are the two best kits, definitely.
Yeah, and the Leicester Tigers...
Circa 2015, 2016.
Yeah, the Canterbury one.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. They should be mandatory for all time. Yeah. Bath, what a glorious mess. Glorious mess.
Oh, dear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, talking of messes, Omar, can you say his surname?
I can't remember how it is. It's Munami or something like that.
Munami, or whatever his name, has been fired. Sorry, he's left by mutual consent from the Brotherhood of Love.
He has. And so, again, just to be clear, we don't know the reason why he has left his position as defence coach for Bristol. We don't officially know, because it's just by mutual consent.
Was he defence coach? Or was he contact coach or something odd?
Something like that. But his Bristol's defence in previous years has been absolutely exceptional, and he was a massive part of that.
Well, he's only been there for 18 months. So he was Worcester, wasn't he? Yeah. That's where. And prior to that, he was South African Sevens. Now, I spoke to a few Worcester players about him, and mixed reports, actually. Some were quite impressed by, you know, the sort of weird stuff that he came out with, because he's all about grappling and wrestling. I'm not sure if he's a jiu-jitsu black belt, but he's definitely an MMA kind of guy. But apparently the guy's also an absolute psychopath, you know, in a way that rugby players kind of respect. Very, very unusual character. Whether he was operating a Twitter account to criticise Bristol Bears or not, I do not know. But an interesting story. Can I just tell you another kind of interesting-ish story?
So just on that, I'm just seeing, because we can't, the Telegraph reported this, so Charlie Felix, so I feel confident we can just say what you hinted at there. A little paragraph there. Umar Munemni, defence coach who was confronted by Bristol Bears players as the prime suspect behind an anonymous Twitter account criticising team performance and training methods, has left the club by mutual consent.
That is crazy.
So it's like Agatha Christie stuff.
I guess I heard it was Rebecca Vardy, but what do I know?
It's Omar Munemni. Yeah.
But I was taught, right, I want to know your views on this, and it's not about this guy, but it's about rugby more broadly, okay? So I was talking to, I won't say his exact name, but he's a grassroots podcaster, often on the ruck, okay?
Okay.
And I also think he's one of the best guys on the ruck by far. And we were talking about how the Premiership handles itself and it handles the press, and particularly how basically the head of comms for the Premiership is not interested in the growing of the game, but more just running interference so no one finds out anything. And actually, these stories, like the Bath story, and the players going boozing on the Thursday rather than training, or Omar allegedly putting out tweets, I get it. This is not the wholesome image that you want. But my God, it's enjoyable. This is the sort of, if you want people to talk about your sport and the characters, yes, there's all the wholesome goodness of, seeing sick children in hospital bays. But people like gossip. Like, what would it be like if they just answered the phone and honestly said, the boys went out on the beers. They're not happy about this. Please write about it. I mean, just write about it. There's so much good gossip and scandal. Just go full out, boys. There's no, it can't get any worse.
I think people like gossip about people that they know, but no one outside of rugby, no one that isn't already a big rugby fan is going to care about these stories we've been talking about on this episode.
I tell you what, Charlie Morgan reported the Omar story, so it will happen. It will happen. I just think the more drama, the more we can talk about it, and the more narratives and all of this stuff, the better. Just imagine if they gave you all the information. I mean, look at how Bath handled themselves. I asked a few difficult questions to Stuart Hooper and they threatened to ban me. So, they're not the most open sport. And there's so many storylines. They should be far more open. Paul Morgan is astonished that I find the Premiership interesting. Literally his quote. What, you find it more interesting than international rugby? That's astonishing. And these are the people who are in charge of spreading the game, which is, of course, astonishing. So, I think they need to take a completely different look at rugby and just start telling us absolutely everything, because the whole thing is fascinating, isn't it? The club dynamics are fascinating. The relationships are fascinating. The whole thing's fascinating. Talk about it.
Oh, I agree with that. But if you want to take a kind of open it all up and let's see it all kind of approach to rugby, which I'm totally in favour of, and as someone who's fortunate enough to hold a microphone and be in a position where I could do something with that, I'd just look at F1 coverage and go, imagine, you see Martin Brundle, everyone loves his pit walk, and whether that's chatting to the odd celebrity or going and chatting to a driver just very casually, that's how I'd love to do a pre-match walk around the pitch, like it's a pit walk. That's how you open up rugby, not by going, well, there's a bit of a scandal, let's leverage that.
People love a scandal. People love a scandal. Never forget that. But although I guess it is difficult for the Premiership rugby, because when they're trying to tell you that they've got the secret to ending discrimination and they're campaigning to change the world, it does look a bit silly when they can't run a rugby club, or their players go on the beers rather than go training, and you think, it's like when Dragons decided that they're going to feed the homeless and solve veterans' mental health issues. They can't win a rugby game, and that's their primary job. So maybe they do want to be taken more seriously than they deserve.
So JB, upshot of all that, you're a massive Bath fan again.
Huge Bath fan. Can't get enough of it. Give me more mainline Bath rugby into my veins.
When are you next going to one of their press conferences?
I've stopped doing that because I'm really, really busy at work at the moment. But soon, I'd like to go again.
I'd quite like to dip into one pretty soon, actually.
Yeah, I bet they're only pre-approved questions now. I mean, why even bother? Why even bother? What would be the point?
Well, I would say if there's one person that you want to bring on board to make it a much more kind of serious rugby-focused affair, Johan van Graan will be the perfect tonic. Unlike people like you, JB, you won't like it, but if for everyone at Bath that wants the scandals to go away and just kind of an uber professional rugby based focus to come in, Johan van Graan, I guarantee you, will make that the case.
What a shame.
He's a very, very lovely man. I've got nothing but nice words to say about Johan van Graan. Very lovely man. Very seriously rugby man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know nothing about URC. I know obviously Phil follows it a little bit. You I've obviously encountered him before. What can both of you tell me about him, if anything?
Well, I can tell you. So Razzie Erasmus brought him in, and he's not like Razzie Erasmus, who's kind of got that larger than life. We'll have a laugh and a joke. Johan van Gran is always very honest, very straight. But that's it. He's honest and straight, and he's rugby, rugby, rugby.
Good.
Yeah, although it's his last couple of years at Munster have coincided with mediocre, shall we say, performances from Munster. Despite having a lot of talented players, they've not necessarily got the best out of them. So,
The little caveat to that would be that actually Munster, I don't think have. I think they've done all right in relation to the players that they have.
Mm.
And I think that the last couple of years has been really good for Munster. They've got a lot of young guys that haven't had any experience, and I hope Munster go on and do well. But I don't think they've done badly given what they have. I think that there are systemic reasons why Munster haven't had a better squad, and maybe Johan van Gran takes some responsibility for that. I don't know.
Mm.
Would you like the last off the field story?
Yeah, what is it?
Go on.
The RFU might appoint a director of rugby or someone like that.
Mm.
Have you heard this one?
I haven't.
So how would that fit in with Nigel Melville, Conor O'Shea?
Yeah, what a great question that is. So as it stands, Eddie Jones reports directly into the big man himself, Bill Sweeney. Now, Bill Sweeney and a collection of luminaries whose identity is literally top secret. I mean this, I don't think anybody knows who is in Eddie Jones's assessment on the assessment panel who conducts the reviews. It's one of the closest guarded secrets in rugby. And rugby being so porous, I'm amazed that it's managed to last, that secret's managed to last so long, unless I'm just completely out of the loop and it's common knowledge who it is. But instead of having that, they're going to have almost like a Rob Andrew type, his old role, and a director of rugby overseeing the next head coach of England. And I don't know why. Why?
Is this something to do with the transition from Eddie onwards? Because it's always going to be a tricky transition.
Yeah, I think the argument is Eddie reports into somebody with no rugby background. So Bill Sweeney is a good administrator, decent bloke, all the rest of it, but he's not a rugby guy. When Eddie Jones needs to report into someone who knows his rugby, but then who does the director of rugby report into? Like someone else who knows his rugby even better. So ultimately, I don't like the... I just think it's one more step which you don't need. When you're coaching England, I assume you've already had prior experience as a director of rugby somewhere else. I don't think you need one on top of you if you're the head coach. I can't imagine England just taking a rookie head coach from somewhere and needing him to report into a DOR. That would be my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not going to do that, are they? They're going to have a head coach who is vastly experienced at the top level of... certainly the club game, and likely with some international experience as well.
Yeah, and if you look at how Eddie does his stuff, he's almost like a director of rugby anyway, which is why his coaching turnover is so vast. He's basically running a program, and he refreshes that program every 6 months, it feels like, with Simon Amor or whoever the flavour of the week is. And that's the way he likes to do things. So, I don't know. I don't see any point in a director of rugby, really. You've got a chief exec and that's it. Because otherwise then the director of rugby's got to report into somebody.
Mm.
And they've got Conor O'Shea there, and he knows stuff. Nigel Melville knows stuff. And apparently this is a recommendation from Nigel Melville.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I've not come across that up to now.
Yeah, so... I'm just trying to think. I wonder if this is kind of like Ed Griffiths inventing a job for Fred Griffiths. Hey, boys, what job would you like? Director of Rugby for England? You've got it. Done.
And don't forget the other man who did that very recently.
Who was that?
Steve Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Director of Rugby for England?
No, Steve Diamond, consultant.
Consultant at Worcester.
Worcester Warriors. Bullet point number one of Steve Diamond's recommendation. give a job to Steve Diamond.
Yeah, the RFU should get Steve Diamond to do a review of who should do the DOR for the RFU, because they'd get the right man. I guarantee you that.
They would get right a man. They would be a
very particular northern man.
So sometimes when you've got difficult decisions to make, just making a clear decision and get everyone working on the same page is more important than having the most efficient or most accurate decision. And in that report, you would get one very clear decision, one very clear cast iron recommendation, employ Steve Diamond.
Yeah, Steve, why is this report one page long? And why is it in landscape? And why does it only contain two words? Why is one of the words an emoji?
He'll have done it with Comic Sans as well.
It's just handwritten. Pass it in back. Yeah. Do it. I think that's pretty much. Look at that. You got 4 minutes to go in your car, Tim.
Oh, to go and pick up Louis and his mate from Neighbourhood Weekender. Yeah, they're watching Kasabian as we speak. Jealous of that.
Which, Tim, you were going to be on time this week, unlike me last week when I wanted to go and have a birthday McDonald's. And JB, I thought it shut at 11:30. JB said, no, it shuts at 12 o'clock. I arrived there.
He said 11:30. JB said 11:30, but nevertheless.
No, JB said midnight.
Oh, no, he said midnight. You're right.
And I arrived at 11:32 and it was shut. The staff were actually just walking out of there.
Get back in. Turn on the machines.
So probably for the best, I missed... What would have been about my 6,000th and 7,000th calories of the day on my birthday. So
I've had a bad day. I've had a similar day. Day to that today. It's dreadful.
I've had a bad day. I drank a lot yesterday. So I've made some poor life choices today.
Quick question: are you considered a cool dad now, Tim? Because obviously you do get a lot of tickets to a lot of cool things. Don't you?
I think that's what's quite cool about having kids is like, do you know what? The fact that Louis said, because I was like, do you want to take your mate to this festival yesterday? He went, no, we can go. We'll go together. I was like, awesome. I mean, that will change soon enough. It's inevitable that he'll think I'm an absolute bell at some point. He tolerates me at the minute, and that's cool. I'll take that.
That's very nice. So at a certain point, you're going to be the cool dad who can sort them out with tickets for all sorts of things.
Oh,
the fans that you might go on, cool enough.
Going to the Killers in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. You know, if I liked music, you'd be so much more of a useful friend.
maybe that's one thing. Getting JB into music. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. No. Not happening.
I wonder what music you would be into if you did like music.
Mid-2000s hip-hop. R. Kelly, of course.
The one person you've been to see.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to see him.
One final thing. I know this is the non-rugby pod, the off-field pod or the back-of-house pod. Neither of you will have seen it, but Moana Pacifica got their second win of Super Rugby this weekend against Brumbies, who finished fourth, qualifying for the quarterfinals or semifinals, whichever it is. But the interesting thing was Moana Pacifica, Sokopi Kepu got a red card after 10 minutes and they played 70 minutes with 14 players against a team much, much better than them and won 32-22. So a very, very good win for Moana Pacifica.
I saw one of the tries just outrageous. Like almost tackled in his own try, dead ball area, got out of the 22, gassed a few people, amazing offload, gassed try in the space of 10 seconds, almost being caught on your own line to try time.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. One other final, only slightly related rugby story, but it's a friend of the pod, Neil Back, his son is now going to be a Premiership footballer next season.
Really?
Finn Back's in the Nottingham Forest squad and they're promoted to the Premiership.
That is amazing.
Premier League.
He doesn't actually play that much, does he?
But he's done a few games, handful of games this season in the Championship.
Yeah, that's awesome. A Premier League footballer.
Yeah, he's incredible. Amazing stuff. Well, Neil Back, very proud father. Well done.
100%. Right. He's probably by this, in the next year or two, he'll have eclipsed Neil Back's rugby earnings.
Yeah. Of life. Right, boys, on that note, I'm going back to my campsite, so I'll see you later.
Have fun in Abasoch. Nice one, Phil. Thank you for listening. Let the boys play.
Cheers, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.